This is the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane. Once again, we're here. It is Tuesday, week three, Lineup Logic 2017. Appreciate everybody who is subscribing on iTunes, listening on Stitcher, all that good stuff, downloading. Downloading via those apps really, really helps the pod. So I totally appreciate you guys subscribing and following, etc. I really love the retweets, the commentary, everybody interacting with the show. It's so fun on Twitter to see your notifications blow up with people talking to you, asking questions, about the pod. It is Tuesday, the 24th. Got a few news pieces I got to hit with you for shout outs and just, things happening on the show wanted to share with you. So shout out to AB_TheGoat, friend of the pod, lineup provider out there making moves. We were talking lines the other day. Some good ideas, man. It's good ideas. Still winning, still doing good work. So check out AB_TheGoat. At Nephew Barry, also good friend of the podcast, lineup provider. Just told me the other day he's launching an FB page, Facebook page over there where subs can go find lines, a little bit more flexible than his previously on Twitter. So he's gonna have a lot of stuff over there on his new Facebook page. Talk to Nephew Barry about that. Very excited, growing the biz. Entrepreneurs out here in the DFS world making it work. Appreciate that, man. So talk to Nephew Barry about that for details. Very cool to hear him doing well. And the guys over at Fan Forecast, man, loving those guys. They're absolutely killing it. Got in on the free roll last night, just went straight up stars and scrubs. No question about it. Had to. Just so much freaking value on the board. I was like, you know what? This is a fun little free roll GPP. I'm just going to load up. I got myself some Boogie and some Giannis and some Harden. And then I just filled in with all those ridiculous Spurs. And the line rolled. It was great. It was north of 300, so I was pretty happy with that. Terrence Jones, guys, whoa, hey, Terrence Jones, how you doing, bro? That was crazy. Someone needs to talk to Alvin Gentry because clearly he's not coaching this team well. If Terrence Jones can put up 32 points on the Cavs, he needs to be playing the four, and they need to figure out how to get Anthony Davis at the five, and they need to figure out how. It's just like it's bananas to me that Gentry doesn't know what he has on his team. Probably good candidate to get fired by the All-Star break. Never wish for anybody to get fired, but if you've got guys blowing up like that and you don't know how to use their talent, then you need somebody in there who can figure it out. So the Fan Forecast free roll was a blast. Absolutely a good time. Some nice lines out there. But I finished close to the top, but not quite up there. Bryce Breeden, I think, if I'm reading the usernames correctly, yeah, Breeden looks like he took that baby down. So good on you. Good on you. And exciting announcement. Tomorrow's pod, gonna host DFS Shane, friend of the podcast. Been throwing some retweets out there, lineup provider. Great follow on Twitter. Always throwing out some good ideas about lineups, lines, etc. So DFS Shane's gonna come on. We're gonna talk process. We're gonna talk about the Wizards and the way that he creates lineup. But before we get into the NBA night to come, the NBA spreads and injury news with the breakdown of all the players. We're gonna recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. So this is an interesting learning experience, I think, in DFS. I got to be honest with you. This is a night where the late news and the value plays over oversaturated everybody. Like, everybody was freaking out. We all wanted some shares of the Spurs. We all wanted some different, you know, things that we could do in our lineups that related to that crazy amount of value there. And, you know, people were sleeping on what were just solid fantasy plays. And I think I was a victim of just too much tinkering, you know, just crazy late news, you know, in the kitchen trying to get dinner ready with the kids. And I'm like, Kawhi is out. Oh, God. Anthony Davis is out. Oh, no. What am I going to do? And I'm sitting there rewriting my lineup, you know, from my phone at 6:45, and you make bad decisions. You know, the original guys I was on the show were better choices. I knew Paul George was too cheap and in a decent situation at home. Got off of him, of course. I knew that Boogie would score 50 against the Pistons because he does it every single time. Didn't get on him. You know, I went over to a bunch of these Charlotte guys because I thought that this game was going to be more competitive. I got myself some MKG, who I didn't mind, and I got a little Nick Batum, spread it out a little bit. And Nick Batum and MKG just fell flat on their face. And at center, I went with Rudy Gobert just because Gobert has been so damn consistent lately. And I presumed Adams would be out, to be completely honest with you. And Gobert was going to be just eating, just shoveling rebounds down his throat. And of course, Adams is back. I didn't have any news. So, you know, I just too much tinkering, really. It was a bad moment, you know, when all the news was coming out, to not stick with your process and know why you made the selections that you made, not trust yourself, just because your phone is blowing up with late news. That's frustrating. So tonight I'm going to set a lineup. I'm going to set the show lineup. I'm going to absorb the news by the end of the day. I'll probably sit down at 6 o'clock and make one round of changes, but I'm not going to sit here and tinker and stare at Twitter the whole time. And the projections, you know, because it's not good for you guys. And I know a lot of you out there like me, sometimes this happens to you. You just get a crazy news day like we had yesterday and you make changes to your lines and your lines don't cash because you don't follow your own process. When you follow your own process, you usually will cash. And that is what I fell victim to yesterday. I stopped following my own process. Anyway, frustrating for sure. I did follow my own process in the I followed my stars and scrubs formula in the free roll and played great. Of course, didn't tinker with that lineup. Just let it be. Damn. All right, let's dive into the games tonight. Okay, we got a nice little 6-game slate for you. You know, not too small, not too big. First game of the night, Boston at Washington. 220 total in this one. Currently, the Celtics are favored by 1. I don't know if that line will change at all, but this should be a heck of a game. These two teams do not like each other. Washington just coming off the back-to-back against Charlotte. They got the W there. Got out to an early lead and then just kind of hid with it. Second game in the night, Clippers continuing the East Coast road trip, going up to Philly. 200-point total in this one. Oh, sorry, injury in the Boston. Only injury in the Boston game to be worried about is Avery Bradley. Keep an eye on the Brad Beal foot situation. But he played. He played tonight against Charlotte, so he should be okay going into Boston tomorrow. In fact, I like him quite a bit with Boston there. Clippers at Philadelphia. We've got a 200-point total in this one. Clippers favored by only 1.5. Embiid is out with the knee sprain. And what's interesting here is you've also got a game time tag on Jahlil Okafor. Okafor would obviously be the, you know, the major pickup if you saw Embiid go down. But Okafor has a game time tag, which could open up a lot of Nerlens Noel. So I think Nerlens Noel is interesting. He's only 4K. He's a value play that I think is interesting. Then we got San Antonio going up to Toronto, 209 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 2.5. Big news here, DeMar DeRozan out with the ankle. DeMar DeRozan out with the ankle, which opens up massive usage for basically Lowry and Valanciunas. And my guess is that Norman Powell or Terrence Ross will take the majority of the work coming in there for DeRozan. So, you know, and on the San Antonio side, we're going to wait and see. We still got, obviously, Pau Gasol is out. Obviously, I think Tony Parker is still listed as out. So that would open up some Patty Mills or DeJounte Murray, however Pop wants to play it. You know, I would be worried about rest for these guys. I think Kawhi is probable. I think the hand was a really Pop just saying, this is a shitty team and I don't really care. So Kawhi, you're going to sit and we're going to beat him anyway. So you can get some rest on the second leg of a back-to-back. On the first leg of a back-to-back. And maybe tomorrow night he'll rest LaMarcus. I don't know. But I don't trust Pop. I never have. I mean, he's a damn good basketball coach, but he's like, try to read his mind for fantasy purposes. Good luck. Everybody was so tilted as soon as they saw that David Lee was not starting tonight. Twitter was just ablaze with the f-. And of course, Lee played. He had value. He was fine. But dude, you got to keep your eyes on the Popovich newsfeed because who knows what's going to happen. And then you got Chicago going down to Orlando. Bulls favored by 2.5 in this one, 206 total. Injury news here is the Orlando backcourt. DJ Augustine out, Jody Meeks out. Really, it just opens up a lot of Elfrid Payton, who has been just getting all the buckets. Elf is just going nuts without those two in the lineup. So a good situation again for him tonight with Chicago coming to town, who has playing, you know, pretty so-so defense, to be honest with you. And we got Minnesota at Phoenix, and a 212 total in this one. Phoenix favored by one. A lot of tight games between some kind of, you know, teams that are, you know, so-so right now, except for the Spurs, obviously. Minnesota at Phoenix, 212 total. Phoenix favored by one. Phoenix is just hot right now, you know. No serious injury news in this one to report. Interesting fantasy value in this game. A lot of mid-tier players in this game that you can target, and it should be a high-scoring affair. I would bet the over for sure. LeVay Phoenix is playing these days, yeah. Utah at Denver is the last game of the night. 212 total in this one. That's a high total for a Utah game. Denver favored by 1.5 at home. I guess they love the firepower there. We'll look at that game. And of course, the only injury news that you have to keep your eye on the Denver side of the ball is Gary Harris ankle. He's a game time decision. Hopefully trending towards coming back, although that does close down the Will Barton effect. And then on the Utah side of the ball, you still got Rodney Hood out there as well. So as I'm looking at this, I notice I missed one major piece of news, and that was that Blake Griffin is probable. Blake Griffin probable for the Clippers tomorrow night as well. So that's interesting to see. You know, I don't know if he'll be limited or what, but Blake Griffin coming back for the Clips, that's good news. That's good for them. All right, let's go ahead and break down the players that we love. Who do you love? Okay, so we're going to dive right into the lock and load segment here. This is where I'm going to go position by position and give you top tier studs you know, the best players to play at each position for the night. You know, the thing that I am, you know, continuing to realize and notice, one of the most dangerous things that can happen in your FanDuel lineups, he's the word dangerous is very dramatic, but you know what I mean, is your studs don't hit value. And when your studs don't hit value, they crush your lineup and they crush your chances at hitting the cash line. And that is, it is a real thing, you know. And so you have to keep your eye on making wise decisions about your studs first and foremost. Because if a value guy misses value, then fine, you miss 3 points. I keep saying this. But if your studs miss, then your studs are really the ones that are going to hurt you. So we have a couple really solid options at point guard, but I'm going to go back to the well here, and I'm going to say John Wall, 10-7, Boston at home. He doesn't matter that it's a back-to-back. He is playing at another level right now, and he is plus 7 on home, and he is plus 2 on back-to-backs. It just proved positive that he's playing extremely well. He's got a great matchup against Isaiah Thomas. I mean, Isaiah Thomas led Derrick Rose score 30 points on him at home. Wall is just, he's heated up about this too. I mean, they do not like the Celtics. This is going to be an ugly game. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys saw the post game with the Celtics-Wizards last time when Jay Crowder poked John Wall in the nose. And, I mean, Jay Crowder's a big dude. I mean, I'm not going to mess with Jay Crowder. No joke. Like, that's a big man. And if he wants to mess with people, he can probably handle himself. But I'm not going to poke John Wall in the nose. John Wall is crazy. And he does not like the Celtics. So I think this is a no mercy game. Scott Brooks knows his team doesn't like the Celtics. He's going to, you know, play the starters and let them have it. It's going to be a competitive game. These two teams match up really, really well together. So as long as John Wall does not get ejected, I like John Wall. I don't love the price. And if you want to spend down and go to Isaiah Thomas, that's fine. But I think John Wall really turned up the defense to stick it to Thomas and try to win this game. And Thomas is so scoring dependent that it doesn't interest me. You know, I don't like studs that are scoring dependent. You know, that's why you're never on this pod going to hear me recommend Damian Lillard. I'm sorry. I just don't, unless he plays the Nets, because he's so scoring driven. You know, when those guys are scoring driven, they're great, pure scorers. It's very, very, very difficult to hit your ceiling when the only thing you do is score. So anyway, I think Wall's in a great position. The only thing that you want to be careful of, you don't want to ignore Kyle Lowry. Lowry is getting the Spurs. We know that. Okay, fine. But he does have the highest usage rate on the Raptors without DeRozan in the lineup. The second highest is Valanciunas. And Valanciunas actually has more fantasy points per minute. But Valanciunas' minutes are just so bad right now. He's like 24 to 28 minutes. You just don't love that. And you don't love the matchup with the Spurs front court. You know, especially if he's going to get guys like Deadman and David Lee. They're just good defenders. David Bertans, they're good, solid defenders, and they're big guys. There's no way Valanciunas goes to work on those guys. So Kyle Lowry is interesting at 8-4, but he just hasn't had a good game, you know. And I've preached Kyle Lowry so much because I just love the man. He does it all, two-way point guard, and he should be starting in the All-Star game. I'm going to say that. The way he's played, he should be starting. The way he plays defense, he should be starting over Kyrie. But, hey, I might be alone in that, and I might not, you know, I might be nitpicking. But I like his defense. I like his scrappiness. I like the way he shoots the long ball. So Lowry is a great option at 8-4 if you don't want to spend 10-7 on Wall. All right, at shooting guard, it is Wall's backcourt teammate, Bradley Beal, 6.7. That's a nice price for Beal. Beal's usually in the sevens. It's a nice price for Bradley Beal. Great history against the Celtics. Last game out against the Celtics, he put up 45 FD points, was absolutely bananas behind the arcs. You know, I think you got to watch out for this foot injury. It almost held him out of this Charlotte game. So if that is aggravated or there's any kind of news about the foot injury, be careful because it could keep him out. But this is a price down for Bradley Beal, an elite shooter who's motivated at home against a team that's third worst in the league against the shooting guard. And, you know, Avery Bradley out still. Marcus Smart defense, which is the same defense that allowed him to score 45 last time. At small forward, there's really two options. It's Kawhi at 10-1 and Jimmy at 9-6. I like them both, honestly. I'm going to say Kawhi right now just because I think that LaMarcus might sit. And if LaMarcus sits, then Kawhi is going to have a massive offensive workload. The sore hand seems flimsy to me. If Kawhi was playing a team that mattered, Pop would have played him. But, you know, I think Kawhi plays against Toronto. The Raptors need a win. And even though they don't have DeRozan, they're going to play hard to try and keep this one competitive against a banged-up Spurs team. You know, a Spurs win at home would be a huge thing for this Raptors team that's just struggling. So I think, you know, Lowry comes out and really tries to keep the team motivated, defensively involved. They played Toronto earlier this year. Kawhi had 25-4-2. That was 42 FD points in 28 minutes. It's a point and a half per minute. So let's say that they keep it close. Okay, let's say that Kawhi goes for 34 minutes, 32 minutes, right? 34 minutes, let's call it, to play the fourth quarter. That is 9 extra points. Boom, Kawhi hits value at 51. So, you know, I like Kawhi in this spot. If he doesn't go, then swap him out for Jimmy. It's easy. Jimmy's in a very good position as well against Orlando. You know, I think the defense is a little bit better there with Aaron Gordon. But he's definitely ready for a bounce back. And I think that, you know, an Orlando game is definitely something that can do the trick. Okay, power forward. You really only have two elite options. It's LaMarcus Aldridge and Nikola Jokic. I like Jokic quite a bit. But I really don't know how Jokic is going to fare against Rudy Gobert. I do think he's going to struggle in that game. And I don't think that Denver's going to be able to push the pace the way that they want. So I'm off Jokic for the moment. Aldridge is in line for rest. But if he does go, you know, I think you have to play him. The Raptors are one of the league's worst against the power forward. Aldridge isn't a traditional power forward in the, like, the bang and grab the rebound sense, but they're just for front court defense is just not good. And it's just going to allow Aldridge a lot of good opportunity to score. He's second in the team with usage to Kawhi without Gasol and Parker on the floor. So he should be in line for a really nice game. And he's just so solid in cash, you know. And it's just like every night he just goes out and he gets you 38 or 40 points. 38 or 40 points. You know, he's priced right there at 7-8 or 8K. It's a really, really good price point for him. So I like Aldridge quite a bit. The other, moving down to center, it's DeAndre, 8-4, going up against one of the worst front courts without Joel Embiid is out for the 76ers. So DeAndre it is. The usage is amazing right now, of course, like we know without Paul and Blake. Blake is back, but who knows how limited he'll be. You know, the usage is still there for DeAndre. You know, three of his last five, he has 50-plus FD points. That's insane. You know, he played another good game against Atlanta. And, you know, I think the price is still nice. He's priced to hit 42 points. That's fine. Okay, I'll take 42 from you against a terrible front court defense, you know, with, you know, that's super banged up. You possibly no Joel, possibly no Jahlil Okafor. So he'll be seeing a lot of combination of Ersan Ilyasova and Nerlens Noel, who actually is a decent defender. But, you know, I don't know that Nerlens Noel can keep up with DeAndre Jordan for 30 minutes. I don't know. I think DeAndre could have a great game again. Moving on to the middle tier here, the fantasy grout, the mid-price guys to fill in around your studs. Starting at point guard, there are two really nice options at point guard in the 6K range. One is George Hill at 6'3", and the other one is Elf at 6'7". Really, really nice price. Both of them prices are really low. Been priced this way for a while for Hill especially. And his price is really just too low for a matchup with Denver. Terrible DVP against the point guard. And Hill is playing really well. He had 45 FD points the other night. You know, Hill is just, he's a solid, 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 solid point guard option. And if he falls to you, you can always be happy with his playing time is there. His usage is there. His attempts are there. His peripherals are there. He's just a really well-rounded basketball player. And now Elf, he's the leading scorer for the Magic. Like, forget Serge, forget, I mean, we love Aaron Gordon on the pod, but like, Elf is the leading scorer for the Magic. In the last five games, he's had 57 FD points, 49 FD points, 19, 36, and 42. Good situation against the Bulls. Poor DVP this year. You know, they've given up a ton of really, really big performances to mediocre point guards. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder being the most recent of them. So I like both of those guys quite a bit to get to value. Moving over to shooting guard, you know, we already gave Bradley Beal, who actually is in this price range, but I'm going to offer up Devin Booker, 6'5". He's got Minnesota. I'll talk about Zach LaVine defense in a second, but it's really not a thing, to be completely honest with you. LaVine's defense just really isn't there, especially perimeter shooters. They seem to have a really nice time against the Wolves. LaVine just doesn't really close out shots on kickouts and stuff like that. So I like Booker at home at 6'5". He's just been really hot right now, and I think it's still a good price for him. You know, like I said, that they're pretty middle of the pack against the shooting guard, and Booker's usage is just really up, and the Phoenix Suns are playing well. So get some Devin Booker at home against the Timberwolves. At small forward, it's Wiggins on the opposite side of the ball against Phoenix, 7-1 for Wiggins. Great pace-up matchup for Wiggins. His usage rate is just really up there. I think Tibbs is really forcing the offense through Wiggins and Towns, which is, you know, really good for all of us in fantasy value, because those are the guys you want to roster, Wiggins and Towns, because they're the best offensive players in, you know, on their respective teams. Wiggins says, you know, in the last four, he's got 34, 37, and 35 FD points. You know, he had one stinker at San Antonio, but hey, that's Kawhi defense, man. You know, it looks like Wiggins is on track to have another solid game here. Suns are bottom three in DVP. And here's what's interesting. So LaVine kind of disappearing offensively, or just disappearing in general by being benched in the fourth quarter. Wiggins has a 35% usage rate without LaVine in. So, you know, that's massive. And then the next one is Cap, but Wiggins is a massive usage rate. A lot of the offense pours through him. And so, you got to think that, another good situation for him with, the Suns. At power forward, it's Markieff Morris. Markieff, dude, he just keeps doing it. I just keep waiting for him to do regular Morris Twins stuff, which is to just kind of get pouty and angry and fire threes and then eventually get benched for being overly emotional and just bad. But he's not. He's just playing really well. He's 6'4". He's got Boston. He's been deadly consistent lately. He's averaging 36 FD points in the last five. He had 33 his last game against Boston. He's just shooting extremely well from behind the arc, getting a lot of really solid looks. I think this is an opportunity where you just kind of have to lock him in. Good situation. You got to be on board with Markieff, even if you don't like him as a player that much, which I just don't. He's doing good fantasy things. So, you know, whatever. At center, it's Tyson Chandler, another guy that's just trending up. It feels a little chasey to go after Chandler at 6'2", but, you know, you look into the matchup with Cat, and you kind of think, oh, geez, that's not a good matchup, right? Aren't the Wolves pretty good? Cat's pretty good. Well, Cat's not a very good individual defender against the center, to be completely honest with you. He has a pretty poor defensive real plus minus, especially in comparison to Chandler. Cat's got a negative 0.9, and Chandler has a plus 1.4. So, you know, in that respect, Chandler kind of has the upper hand just as a more well-rounded center. And DeAndre, similar profile to Tyson Chandler, you know, rebound machine, big physical body. It just soaks up the rebounds. It just had 54 FD points against Cat. So I just don't think that Chandler is going to get challenged for those rebound numbers. I think it's a pretty easy spot for him to get 12, 15 rebounds, in a pace-up matchup where there's a lot of shooting from both sides. From, you know, Wiggins and LaVine will get some shots up, and then on the Sun side of the ball that Bledsoe and Booker will get some shots up as well. So Chandler just soaking up those rebounds. I like him at 6'2 at home. And now, moving on to the bargain basement below 5K or around that 5K range. At point guard, we got to keep an eye on Ricky Rubio. We'll see if he's in or he's out. If he's out, then you've got Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn went bananas on Sunday night, which was really kind of cool to see because I just like the guy. I want to see him succeed in the NBA. So really cool to see him succeed on Minnesota there. But you also, you know, of course, you still got the Chris Paul replacement squad of Felton and Rivers, who Rivers had a really nice shooting night against Atlanta. Felton had put up his normal 25. Felton is just, he's cheaper. Rivers is above 5. So, you know, pick either one and presume they're going to get you somewhere between 25 and 30. You also have probably some Patty Mills action available to you, who's near min price. Patty Mills could be filling in for Parker if Parker's still out. But, of course, who knows what the Greg Popovich is going to do. Keep your eye on the injury report for any Mills news. You don't like the matchup with Toronto because Kyle Lowry's just a good on-ball defender, but you like the minutes and you like the price, and you can't really fade that. at shooting guard, you got the JJ twins, JJ and Jamal, going to Philadelphia. They should both get some decent run. Jamal's got his shot back a little bit. JJ is priced at 4.7. He had a great shooting night against Atlanta as well. You know, either one, fire away. You know, I think whatever you need, you can feel comfortable. That's the nice thing about having Felton and Rivers and JJ and Jamal is it's kind of like, okay, whoever falls to me, I'll take them. And you can. It's really not bad. They're kind of hitting value based on the minutes that they get, and they're all kind of interchangeable. The other one is Will Barton. You know, I don't know if Gary Harris will go, but Will Barton's priced down at 5'2". If Gary Harris doesn't go, Will Barton's interesting for sure. And then moving on to small forward, you got a lot of guys at small forward. Of course, you have Jingles, Joe Ingles. He's been kind of a wonderful have to under 4K. You've got Aaron Gordon at 5'1". Still a very good price. Keep your eye on Terrence Ross. He should probably get some news. Maybe he'll be in the starting lineup. His usage goes way up without DeRozan, which also brings into play Damari Carroll. Damari Carroll, obviously in the starting lineup, getting 30 minutes, should see some nice run and see some increased offensive opportunity without DeRozan in there. The other ones you have to keep an eye on is Jeff Green. Interestingly enough, I never thought I'd be saying Jeff Green is fantasy viable, but he's just shooting more. I think that the Magic have asked him to kind of step up his offense. He's putting up a lot more attempts. He's had over 10 points in the last two games. So Jeff Green is interesting if you really want to punt tournament style there with Jeff Green. I don't think he'll do anything crazy. He definitely doesn't have a ceiling, but he's an interesting punt play if you want to kind of just have somebody fill in. Like I had Tabo fill in, and he did fine. He had 36 or 37 or whatever his price at. You know, you really don't need much from him. So you just need him to not put up a goose egg. But at 20, you know, he's getting 28 minutes. He's not going to put up a goose egg at 28 minutes. He's a pretty well-rounded player. So power forward, you got Taj at 4.7, which is a really nice price for Taj Gibson, to be honest with you. A 30-point ceiling on Taj Gibson. He's a lot like Derek Favors, right? Derek Favors is right there at 45, too. Man, Taj and Derek Favors should hang out. They should start the, like, classically power-forward-y power-forward club. Taj at 4.7. He had a great game last time out against Orlando. Actually did hit 30 against Orlando last time. Had 16 points, 11 rebounds. I like Taj in this spot because Orlando's just a terrible rebounding team. So fire away with Taj for sure. Then you, of course, have David Lee, 5-1. He's got Toronto, great situation. And then Nerlens is one of the most interesting ones. Nerlens Noel, if Okafor can't go, you got to think Nerlens gets slid into the five spot there while Ilyasova is at the four. Now, if Okafor can go, then you're kind of in a bad situation, right? You can't really do that. So you have to look somewhere else. But you know, I think Nerlens is really interesting at 4K if we get the news that Okafor is out. At center, it is Robin Lopez. He's still priced below 5K. Terrible rebounding team, like I said. Here's an interesting thing. Robin Lopez actually has one of the highest contested rebound rates in the league. Huh. That means he's a good rebounder. Now, the other one is Okafor. If Okafor goes, he's a pretty solid play. He plays a lot of really solid offense, man. He puts the ball in the bucket. So you don't mind Okafor if Embiid is out. You don't love the matchup, but it's a value play. All right, let's go ahead and we'll move over to the lineup lock. Lineup lock is, of course, when I build a cash core for you guys. Out of the players that we recommended on the pod. And, you know, what I suggest you do from here is pivot, build your own, make your own changes to what you feel comfortable with. All right. So at point guard, we've got Elfrid Payton and George Hill. Too good to fade those situations. Shooting guard, it's Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. If you're noticing a theme, fair and balanced. Small forward, it's Andrew Wiggins and Kawhi Leonard. And then at power forward, it's David Lee and Taj Gibson. And at center, it's Tyson Chandler. I only got one guy who's over 10K, and that's Kawhi. You know, there's a little bit of salary left here, you know, and I tinkered with it trying to figure out if I could figure out how to get Markieff Morris in there. And there's definitely some value plays out there if you want to get some more studs, like getting Jimmy and Kawhi in your lineup is not impossible. Definitely not impossible. And you could definitely spend up at point guard and feel really good about that. I just think that fair and balance is a really good way to go with this slate. And fair and balance is always a nice way to go. You feel strong about starters who are getting really good minutes and have consistent roles. And so this is a pretty good core to work from here. Well, that is it for me today, guys. I hope you have enjoyed the pod. Once again, please retweet. I'm happy to answer questions. Follow me on Twitter. It's Hey Mr. Kane. Subscribe on iTunes. Retweet, comment, share the pod. Good luck in your contest. I will see you guys tomorrow.